Thanks very much, Derek. We'll come over to us and join us for our sports panel chat. But before that, just a quick reminder, our competition gives you a chance to win an overnight break in Killarney. Our prize today is sponsored by the Killarney Plaza Hotel and Spa, very elegant four-star resort. You can stay there, or indeed the Killarney Towers Hotel or the Killarney Avenue Hotel, all of them four-star hotels located in the centre of Killarney. And we will be telling you how you can get involved in that one in a short little while. I'll give you our competition question, but I would suggest you keep listening over the next little while because the answer will come up in our chat as we talk sport. We'll have Derek, as I say, shortly, but I'm joined in studio now by Owen Brennan of the Clare People. To look back, first of all, Owen, on yesterday's Clare Senior Hurling Final and the team that for months and months and months, yourself and Derek in particular, have been telling me are the best in Clare, turn out to be the best in Clare and the champions of 2017.
Yeah, the second time of asking, I suppose. Yeah. Certainly weren't the better team on the first day, but got that second chance and, you know, probably had a lot of introspection, I'd say, over the last week or so as to looking into their performance and how they can rectify that. And we're a completely different side this time around, a lot more determined, hungry, focused. Everything they did from the very first whistle, both on and off the field, you could see that extra determination and intensity in their game. And this time it was a role reversal of the first game in that Six Mile Bridge took it from the off, dictated the terms and never allowed Clooney Quinn to settle, just as Clooney Quinn had done to them the previous week. And I suppose it was only really copper fastened in the second half with Brian Corrie's goal, but it always seemed that regardless of that goal, that the Bridge seemed to have more in the tank than the Clooney.
They got that start, the first three scores. That was huge.
Yeah, I think it was huge psychologically. It wasn't huge on the scoreboard overall, because Clooney Quinn came back and it was 4-4, and actually Clooney went ahead for the only time in the game soon afterwards. But certainly psychologically, considering, you know, last week and the start that they endured when Clooney were totally dominant in that first half, the Bridge needed to make a statement of sorts, and they did that. They got the first 3 points. Their setup was a bit better this time, and that gave them the lift to say that this could be our day, and it ultimately was.
Absolutely, indeed, Derek. It was their day, Owen reckons, in part because of in intensity. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think work rate and a greater return from their starting forwards was crucial from Six Mile Bridge. We kind of lamented last week the lack of return they got from the front six, and I think this week that was very much evident in terms of the contribution they made. I think Alex Morey might have been the only man wearing a forward number that didn't score throughout the game. The rest of them all did. Niall Gilligan was a late starter and got two of the first 3 points, I think, and that was massive from a Six Mile Bridge point of view as well, because we had spoken all week that maybe his exclusion last week might have been a mistake from a managerial point of view. And as John O'Mara pointed out after the game yesterday, managers tend to live and die on decisions like that, and they certainly got it right the last day. But just, it was that work rate, particularly around the middle third, I think, that just upset Clooney Quinn from a Six Mile Bridge point of view, and was probably the platform from which they launched. And as well as that, I thought the switch of the game was when they had Aidan Quilligan and Paddy Fitzpatrick moved. Paddy Fitz was wearing number 7 but played on the verge of the square against Fergal Lynch, and Aidan Quilligan, wearing 3, was playing out in the wing back position, and he was really involved in the play, and I think he got one of those first 3 points as well. So from that perspective, it was, as John O'Mara said as well, it was the same six packs, but they just moved them around, and I think the better matchups really told true in the end.
What was the reaction from Clooney Quinn after this one? They'll be disappointed, naturally, not to have won, of course, but, and we'll hear from Shane Amory in a second, many will still regard them as the team of the year.
That's it, and it's difficult probably for any Clooney Quinn supporter listening this morning to hear us say that they've had a fantastic year, because it's just a really bitter pill to swallow. You know, it's probably only when the Christmas lights start going on that you can kind of look back and say, do you know what, it wasn't half bad.
To give us a journey.
Exactly, yeah. To bring the Bridge of all teams in Clare, to bring them to a replay and to be within such a touching distance as they was a brilliant achievement. And in a lot of ways, my heart went out to Peter Duggan yesterday, because he was stood shoulder to shoulder, as he had been for the previous 60 minutes, with Shane Amory on the steps in Cusick Park. But the difference was Shane was collecting the Man of the Match award as a winner, and Peter was getting the top scorer award as a runner-up. So it was a kind of a bittersweet sort of a moment. But from Peter's point of view, he had an absolutely fabulous year, and if we were to pick a player of the championship, he'd be well up there. But it's just about building now for Clooney Quinn, and seeing how they got the numbers to try and drive through again, and perhaps start at 14-16 and look forward, as the Bridge have done, and try and build from there.
I read the quotes earlier from Fergie Loughlin. He talked about maybe perhaps leaving it behind him the first day out.
Yeah, look, as Derek said, you know, the lead up to the final, getting to a final, if you told them at the start of the year they'd get to a county final, most of them in Clooney or Quinn would have suggested that you were slightly mad. But to get there, it was a massive achievement, and they were all so delighted to be in a final. But really, when you look back on that first game, we noted last week, they almost played a near perfect game. Everything they did was so brilliant. They got their game plan, the tactics were right, everybody was up for it, everyone was grasping that opportunity, but ultimately they didn't get over the line. And you know, when you don't, and suddenly the second day you don't perform, or maybe not allowed to perform, and the favourites get that second chance and take their opportunity, you'll always reflect on that first game and say what a missed opportunity it was. They were,
sure,
you know, they were the dominant team for, let's say, 45 minutes of that tie, but ultimately didn't win it. And it's so difficult to get back to a final again, not to mind win it again, that it will really feel like a missed opportunity, and that will ultimately bring regret.
And yes, at the same time, and you'd agree with what Derek said, I'm sure, and you mentioned it already, at the start of the year this would have been perhaps unthinkable. Come the end of the year, there's a lot, come today, there's a lot for fans to be proud of.
Yeah, absolutely, and they have a great underage system there. They, you know, they won the 13-14A last year. You could see the buzz with the young people, you know, they were all embraced this team, looking to maybe emulate those players in the future. You know, they wanted to be those players, they looked up to them. So the buzz alone that, and the kind of let's say the benefits that this getting to a county final alone will bring, will be massive for the club in the future, that they can see the carrot that they, that those, that the club can get to again. Unfortunately, didn't take your opportunity, and you look, it was a brilliant year, they're reflecting that maybe in time, sure, but for the moment that's going to be of no consolation to them.
Go back to Six Mile Bridge. The man of the match yesterday was Shane Amori.
The performance out there now showed that we kind of learned a lot from last week. Now, in fairness, we sat down on Monday and we looked at what we worked well and what we didn't work like. And Joe, last week Clooney set the benchmarking in their work rate. Like, and we knew if we came out and matched that, and even better that we come out on top. And I think we showed that today. Look, you know, it's an unbelievable feeling once you, after the last 10 seconds after that final whistle, once you've known that you've brought the cannon home, like, it's just, it's unreal now, to be honest now.
And I suppose the type of opponent Clooney are, even though you were probably well ahead in the closing quarter, you probably couldn't switch off, as we saw with the late goal. You know that you'd been punished if it wasn't right up to 72 or 3.
Absolutely, like, they've showed that all year. It's like, they never give up, and they're such fighters. Like, that game there was even more intense than last week. Like, it was just non-stop goal, like, and they died in their backs out there, like, which is unbelievable. Like, they're nearly the team of the season, the way they brought that momentum into that final. Like, and look, they hit us with everything they got, and like, Joe, we felt it too. Like, it was such a tough two games, and look, we're just delighted now to come out with that win in the end.
Yourself and Peter had a good old tussle there. That must have been one that you enjoyed getting stuck into.
Yeah, like, you know, I'm well used to Peter now, and Clare and Hurling and everything like that. Like, and look, he's proven it this year. He's been fair the season and the whole championship. Like, he's just been unbelievable. Like, and you know, it was tough now, to be honest now, but like, it was a great battle. Like, and that's what you want as a player. You want to be marking the best, and you want to be competing with the best. Like, so in fairness to him, he's had an unreal year now, in fairness, but look, we're just delighted to have that win and come out on top.
And you can celebrate now with the community, Shane, because I suppose during the week and when you're training, you're in that kind of players bubble as such, and it's only now when you see them out in the field that you can see that the smiles on everyone from 2 to 82.
Absolutely, like, we don't really realise what hurling does to this community. Like, and we've had a tough year now, in fairness, this year with different situations, but like, I think hurling is this community is built around this senior team. Like, and once it wins, you just see just people's smiles in their faces and everything like that, and it's unreal, like, the joy it brings to some families. Like, so in fairness, look, we're all going to go home now and celebrate together, like, and that's the main thing, and just, we're just absolutely delighted to bring that cannon home.
Man of the match in yesterday's Clare Senior Hurling Final, Shane Amori there of Six Mile Bridge. The chairman of Six Mile Bridge GA Club is Paddy Meehan. Good morning to you, Paddy.
Good morning.
And thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations. Was this as good a night as Shane was making it sound there?
It was absolutely fantastic night. I have I've never seen celebrations like it in the bridge before, and I have seen them since 77 all the way up along. I think last night or yesterday's victory was more the manner in which it was achieved was most pleasing, and I think that's reflected in the celebrations last night, well into the early hours of the morning.
How do you mean by that? What about it was so special?
I suppose the first game, a lot of players got a lot of stick over the last week. Felt we didn't get our matchups right. Players were very, very disappointed with their performances. And I think on Sunday night after the county final, they headed off to a hotel, had a players meeting, And I think from there on, I think that victory yesterday was achieved from, we'll say, last Sunday night through to the yesterday at 5 o'clock.
They sound like a very resilient bunch then.
Absolutely. Like, you know, we've been there. We've 3 championships in the last 5 years. We have a team now that the whole parish, the club, the community are absolutely proud of. And I think yesterday's victory was absolutely special. And I just think that, you know, when you win 3 in 5 years, it's a super team, you know, and that's just the way the club and the community feels about the team at the moment.
So a very special victory, obviously, for yourselves. It also means that Six Mile Bridge are going into the Munster Championship now. Will that be embraced? Do you view that as an opportunity to potentially do even more? It'll be a tough road, obviously.
Absolutely. We spoke about it at the dressing room before we left Cusick Park yesterday. Everyone is keyed in. Celebrations have finished tomorrow. Back to training. And listen to me, it's a fantastic Munster club campaign that we're facing. We have Tullow Sarsfield, you have Ballygunner, you have Black Rock, you have what you call Pearshig, you have the Bridge. You know, 5 potential All-Ireland club winners, possibly. You know, so it's going to be great. It's going to be great, and we're looking forward to it.
Paddy, good morning. Gerry Clinch here. We spoke yesterday on the field as well at full time, and you made that same point about it feeling like the first. But the fact that the Clare Championship is so competitive, and I'm just looking at the programme here again in front of me, this is a relatively young Six Mile Bridge team as well when you take it into account. Now, I know Gilly brings the average age up dramatically, to be fair to him, but I mean, this is a team that you can probably look to the future to keep building now on what you've achieved.
Absolutely, like the likes of Cathal Lynch and Gavin White coming on there yesterday, they're only young players, under 31 players. So, like, okay, Gilly brings the average age up, but listen to me, the help of God, he'll bring it up again next year and stay on. Like, you know, he's absolutely crucial to the club and has carried the club for years. You know, but like, Derek, you know, the Clare Championship is so competitive now. If you look at the Bridges Road this year alone, it was Clarecastle the first round. If you don't win your first round, you're possibly looking at a relegation. And, you know, that's just the way it's gone. It's 16 teams. Everyone now has a chance to win, and everybody feels they have a great chance of winning. And that's what makes it so good now at the moment.
And Paddy, I was following the Six Mile Bridge Twitter last night. There was some brilliant Periscope videos up, and one of them in particular, we predicted right at full time. Gilly lashed out the transit van.
It did, and he lashed it out again last night. Absolutely. He's, you know, like, there isn't anything I can say really about Niall Gillingham. I think he has showed it and proved it down through the years. He's an ambassador to the club, and we are looking at him as a superhero on the bridge. Just that's the type he is, you know.
Well, look at Paddy. We really appreciate your time, and I'm sure you'll enjoy today like yesterday. But as you say, the attentions will turn to the future very soon as well. But thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Not a problem, Derek. Thank you very much.
Happy to do it. Thank you very much. It's Paddy Meehan there, chairman of Six Mile Bridge GA Club, the Clare Hurling champions of 2017, of course, own, and the third time in 5 years, as we mentioned, that they have won this particular title, that they've lifted the cannon. And when we talk about an Open Championship, a championship which has seen so many different winners over the years, that's a pretty impressive run.
It is. You know, they haven't done so well in the final year defending their championship, but to do it every 2 years at least, when you consider the amount of teams now that really genuinely feel that they can win this championship, it is a brilliant achievement. I think it's not since Stuart Rayfield at the turn of the millennium has a team won so many championships in such proximity. So it's a massive achievement, and it's about building on that now. And I think even building on that for Munster now, because, you know, they were beaten by Napiershig, okay, in the club final. They were beaten at home last time out. So they'll be looking to kind of push on now. You know, when you win a first championship, you understandably might want to celebrate it a bit more. Ballyhea didn't do that last year and pushed on. Maybe got a bit of luck against Thurles, but really pushed on from that. I think when you win a third one in 5 years, I think it's about trying to get to that next level now and winning a club championship. They're the most successful club in the county in that regard. But this team needs to probably rubber stamp that with a bit more silverware, maybe.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens in that one. They'll be out a few weeks' time, isn't it?
2 weeks' time, yeah. They're playing either Ballygunner or Thurles Sarsfield, so meet next week in Walsh Park, I think. And they'll be on the road for that, so it'll be either Walsh Park or Simple Stadium, you'd imagine, for the Bridge next. But I think they may have one eye on the Pearshick. I think the Pearshick is an itch that the Bridge need to scratch, because they beat them here in the park in a Munster Club final, as Owen mentioned, beat them in their own field in 2015 as well. And given the fact that there's not much between the two clubs in terms of distance as the crow flies, I think it'll have rattled and rankled a small bit. But obviously it's a massive challenge ahead of them, whether it be Ballygunner or Thurles, and the Pearshick won't have it all their own way against Blackrock either, even though I think that game is in Limerick.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they can't look in the Pearshick anyway, because, you know, you're playing Ballygunner, it's going to be in Walsh Park. It's a very, very difficult place to go down to. Cracklough on that a couple of years ago. And Thurles will be looking to scratch that itch from last year against Ballyhale. They will feel that they
and
left Cratlow that one.
Well, I forgot that one, that Cratlow beat the Thurles Sarsfields in the park as well in their Munster Club campaign as well. So they've an eye on clear
games
as well.
A lot of retribution there. And you're getting teams now, a bit like the Bridge in other counties, that are really stamping their authority on it. I think it was 4 in a row for Thurles. I think 4 in a row for Ballygunner as well. The Pearshick have been thereabouts. Okay, they've lost the odd championship, but have gone on to win a club final. You know, this
teams
is probably
have this experience as well.
And really, this is the strongest provincial championship there is. So you're probably likely to see the eventual All-Ireland winners out of it.
Okay, well, look, we'll hope we can break a bridge. We'll follow them across the rest of their campaign. Before we finish this chat, Derek, just a general reflection on the club hurling season as it was in Clare. What's your takeaway, I guess, from 2017?
I think it was a good one. I think it was an enjoyable one. And we got our fairy tale princess story in Clooney Quinn again, in terms of the bridging that long gap since last being in county final day, with some cracking games as well. Like, I mean, Six Mile Bridge featured in a lot of them, to be fair. That game against Newmarket, I felt, was a really enjoyable one to watch. And obviously their meetings with Ballyhale as well. And then on the other side of it, the relegation battle was as intriguing as anything else. And it just shows the fickle nature of the Clare Hurling Championship, given that the likes of Wolf Tones and Feakle and Clarecastle and these clubs were involved, who would have been contesting county quarterfinals and semifinals in recent years as well. So as Paddy mentioned there, it's a championship where every single minute counts in terms of what your target is going to be. And again, it's a credit to the structure that's in place. I mean, the group system served its purpose for a time, but I think this new system has just brought an unbelievable quality to it, and hopefully more of this in the future.
I'm a very big fan.
And just before we leave it, Kevin, we have to mention the condition of Cusey Park yesterday, because all week we were talking about Ophelia and Brian, and right up to Saturday night we were wondering, would this double header go ahead? And the feeling I was getting back from officials was that they were really confident it would, and you just couldn't see how. And then you walk into Cusey Park yesterday and it was as if it was the height of summer. The ground was in absolutely brilliant condition, so the people that are involved in looking after the park and that drainage job that was done deserve absolutely massive credit. It was immaculate yesterday.
And just your own takeaways, Sean?
Yeah, look, I echo Derek's sentiments about the championship and the structure of it. I think it's the cutthroat nature of it, and
every game matters.
Yeah, and you know, right down to relegation, you had the last two teams that relegated were in the semi-finals the previous year. I mean, that's unheard of in any other championship. Normally it's a slow bicycle race to really, you know, decide. You know, there's so many different permutations in other counties just to get down, and you get a number of playoffs. This is so cutthroat. You lose four games, you go down, and really if you lose four, you deserve to go down. And I just think it brings such an intensity to every game in the championship. Obviously, the whole thing hinges on that first round. And it'll be interesting to see how the structure of it goes next year with all that's coming in about the county scene and all that, because the month of April is very early if you're going to be playing your rest of your games in August. But the way the Clare Championship is played, you can't really play two rounds early on, because then they'll know they've been in relegation. It's hard to train a team for 5 months for a relegation game. So be interested to see how that goes. It'd be awful to diminish what is a brilliant, brilliant championship.
I can't see club games being played in April. That's just the reality of it. If county managers are training a team for a May championship date, I can't see them letting lads go in April. But that's another conversation.
We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. We will have more sports chat. Derek talked about a doubleheader. The first part of that yesterday was Kilmaley in the Munster Championship. We'll talk about that next.
If it matters to you, let us know. Contact us now, 1850 400 964, or email focus@clare.fm.
You're very welcome back. Derek Lynch and Owen Brennan still with me as we look back at a sporting weekend, and we have done our digestion and our analysis of the senior hurling final. But before that, yesterday, Derek, Kilmaley in action in the Intermediate Munster Championship and getting over the line just against Limerick's Maru Bohar. Extra time, a 1-point win.
Yeah, I don't think stumbling over the line would describe it. Falling, perhaps, is a better word, because it's just a 1-point win. Mike Kilmaley with a 65 with practically the last puck of the game to win it for Kilmaley after what was an enjoyable enough kind of game, it has to be said. I mean, I don't know what the cover charge into Cusey Park was yesterday, but patrons certainly got their money's worth out of it anyway, the game that opened up today like that.
Spot the man at the pass, huh?
Yeah. But from a Kilmaley perspective, they'll be pleased with the result and disappointed with the performance, I think, is probably the way to look at it. Probably should have put this game to bed a lot sooner than they did. They got a cracking start with Derek Keane's goal, but never really built on it, and it probably allowed Maru Bohar back into it, led by Shawnee Tobin at wing forward. So an awful lot to work on for Kilmaley, and Conor Clancy admitting as much afterwards, but they'll take the win for now and go on to the last four.
We'll hear from him in a second. Maru Bohar, am I right in saying they had won their county title, was it last Wednesday?
Yeah, they had a draw in the county final against Gary Spillane last Sunday, and obviously with the Munster Club game they had to play it Wednesday evening. It was a good doubleheader there actually, between that and the Junior A, won it, probably should have won it the first day, but certainly won it the second day. So I suppose we didn't expect much from Maru Bohar, you know, considering we'd heard about their celebrations and stuff like that as well, and that was only Wednesday night. So but you have to give certain credit to them. I mean, they stuck at it. They could have easily dropped their heads at any stage, but stuck with it and almost pulled it off. The last 40 minutes, they were probably the most dominant side in the game. But ultimately, I suppose it was about Kilmaley digging deep for a finish. And I suppose we have to say fair play to them. We all wondered what we do for the hour between the Munster, the intermediate game and the county final, but they made sure to prolong the stages for us. And by the time they went in, obviously the Bridge and Clooney Quinn were straight out in the field. So maybe they didn't plan it that way, but they made heavy work of it. But I think, you know, it was the first ever Munster club win for them. They'll be delighted with that. And they can only get better from here. It's probably not a bad thing to be, have a lot to improve on going into it. They weren't at their best. They were better in previous games, have a lot more in the tank and a lot more potential, so we hope to see much better from them as we go.
But you seem to be suggesting that you think that will come.
Definitely they have the squad. They're by far the best intermediate squad in Clare this year. I would consider them a top five senior team, so I would expect that if they live up to their potential, that they can go far in this competition. Now, there's a lot of pitfalls along the way. One of them was yesterday, probably inadvertently. We weren't expecting it, but I think that it will be a good wake-up call for Kilmaley, and that they can really push on now and get to the next level, so they know that they have to step it up a few gears if they are to, let's say, emulate Wolf Tones 2 years ago.
And I know that, Derek, when you were previewing this game with Jerome from the Limerick Leader, he was talking about Maru Bohar being quite a good team, but that they themselves, if they'd gotten over yesterday, that they could have gone far in this competition. So we have to put into context the opposition that Kilmaley had yesterday. This might be one of the toughest tests they'll have on the road, and they've gotten through it.
Yeah, well, look, any team that comes out of their county are obviously going to be a top-class opposition if they've won their county title. And we know so much about Shawnee Tobin for Limerick down the years. I think it was 12 points he got yesterday. He was brilliant from the place ball. I don't think he missed too many. Seamus Hickey was there as well. They've got younger players in, the likes of Derek Kennedy and Dylan Sheehan. So they had big Limerick hurling names in the squad. It's not as if it was a group of unknowns. So from that point of view, they'll be glad to get over it. But one aspect, and I'm just having a quick check back on it here, they were well into double figures, Kilmaley, in terms of the wide count. That is one obvious area where they're going to just simply have to improve. They created those chances, but just some of their shot selection at times wasn't right, and the execution was a little bit lazy at times as well. But all that being said, I think the return of Mikey O'Neill from injury, he came on yesterday and got 2 points in the extra time period. He was also through for a goal chance towards the end that created the 65 that ultimately won it. And just one moment yesterday, Gavin, that they brought the crowd to their feet. The corner forward from Roubaix, I think it was Dylan O'Connor, was going through on goal. He was no more than 5 or 6 yards out from Brian O'Loughlin, the Clamely goal, and somewhere out of nowhere, Owen Enright got back to execute a hook that was just an absolutely fantastic display of skill. We talk about JJ Delaney's in an All-Ireland final a couple of years ago. This is up there with it in the execution of it, and Brian O'Loughlin came out bravely to smother it. So this game had everything in terms of drama, missed chances, goals and goal opportunities, and I think Clamely will take a lot from it, and now that they can see a Munster final. You know, this is a quarter final. Now that the carrot of a provincial decider is there, I think it'll probably just up the ante another little bit.
And a 1-point win, that's absolutely crucial. Here's Kilmeny's Conor Clancy.
Delighted with the way the lads responded there at the very end. You know, it looked like we were in a bit of a corner there, but fantastic score by Dara Keane, you know, out in the corner flag, you know, got us back into it, and then a brilliant strike from Mikey at the very end and dead ball to win it. So delighted to come out of it at the very end.
Two very, very evenly matched teams. We went into extra time and it looked odds on for a replay until that Michael O'Malley 65 at the end of the game. But a great way to win a game.
Yeah, fantastic way to win a game. I don't think we played as well as we have throughout the year. I think that's probably one of our performances where we underperformed a bit. Certainly achieved, you know, didn't play anywhere like we played against Tubber in the final. So disappointed with that. But still, I think the lads showed you know, huge character there at the very end to win that game. So I mean, hats off to the lads. They're fantastic there to get the result.
Conor Clancy there, speaking after Kilmeny's victory yesterday. They go into a semi-final, which is in a couple of weeks' time, and they're at home.
Well, it'll most likely be Cusick Park, you'd imagine, and it's against the Waterford champions. It's either Clonay or Unrin. I think that game is on next Saturday down in Walsh Park, so that'll be a second week in a row for that team that'll come through. But if Maru Boher can produce a performance like that after 3-7, I think week on week won't be too bad.
Indeed. It wasn't the only hurling action that double header yesterday on.
Yeah, the Budaig came through at the second time of asking as well. Probably rather luck again. You know, we're very fortunate to get a replay in the first instance. We're very lucky to get extra time on Saturday, but got a couple of goals in extra time to finally see off Ennis Diamond and get back to the final again. They were beaten in last year's final by Sixmile Bridge, are now facing another. This time a second string in the Mills, and that's going to be on this weekend, so going to be another cracking tie. But you must say, I suppose the conditions were dreadful on Saturday morning. They were at the height of the storm, and they really had to weather the storm both on the field and in coming up from the skies.
Fair enough indeed. I suppose one of the biggest events somewhat locally as well, Derek, this weekend was Munster and their victory in the European Champions Cup over Racing on Saturday evening at Thomond Park. Not many rugby games, nil all after an hour.
Yeah, that was a strange one, wasn't it? But then obviously those two late tries kind of seeing it home, and I think again it's a game that carried an awful lot in terms of the weight of emotion given the week that was, and with Axel's anniversary, and I think Ronan O'Gara and Donica Ryan presented something to Peter Mahoney after the game as well, which was a nice touch, obviously. But they'll take a lot from it, Munster. They can say they're unbeaten after two rounds. Leicester, I think, next up in December
in the double header,
in Thomond Park for them as well. So that'll be a massive game. But this was kind of seen as a group of death, I think, with Munster, Leicester, Cast, and Racing as well. So to be sitting joint top of the pool after the first two rounds will be a good platform to work off, I think.
The only worry I would have on just looking at the tables, and not just that table, but the other ones, Munster and Leicester both have 6 points each, whereas in the other table, some of the teams that are leading them have 10, some of them have 8, and three runners up only get into the quarter finals. It might be a case that you have to win your pool, or else.
Yeah, it's a difficult situation when you consider with other codes, and really you have to be on it every time, and every point is crucial. You know, Racing, you can get that try, you know, it was about, you know, just getting that losing bonus point, you know. So much different to other codes in that respect, that every minute nearly counts, every score counts. Yeah. But, you know, ultimately, I suppose it was about Munster. I think, you know, the new coach was in the crowd as well, looking on, and he would have seen a real Munster Thomond Park atmosphere in terms of the weather, the atmosphere in the crowd, and a real team of perseverance, of pure doggedness, and, you know, that paying off in terms of the scoreboard. So I think he takes over, doesn't he, coming into for the games in December?
There is a suggestion in one of the papers today, could be delayed. But, okay. I haven't seen the full details on that yet, but it's on the
hopefully that was nothing to do with Saturday's game.
Which are not second thoughts, are you? No, that's Johan van Grand taking over from Razzie in the coming weeks. But Munster getting that victory there. And we have one more award of our own to dole out this morning.
FM Sports Star of the Month in association with Mannix Menswear, Market Street, Ennis, dressing Clare's sporting heroes for many years.
Derek.
Yeah, as ever, Gavin, we're going to run through a list of the contenders before we dole out the award. Shane Amori is an obvious one with collecting the Man of the Match award yesterday. Shane Golden, I thought, had a fabulous game for Six Mile Bridge as well. In that Kilmaley game, I thought Derek Keane stood up when it was needed, and Mike O'Malley showed real grit to pop that 65. But we've already heard about him this morning, and we heard him yesterday getting kind of emotional on the field after. It was a lovely moment for Niall Gilligan. He had his three children around him, and as I spoke to him, his son was up on his shoulder and his wife was looking on, joking about cooking the chicken and pasta for him. And actually, it's a funny one. She said that she didn't cook the chicken and pasta for him last week and they drew, so she got back to the kitchen Sunday morning and it made the difference. That from Deirdre's own admission. But I think our sports star of the week this week has to be Niall Gilligan, and marking an incredible achievement for him, a sixth Clare senior hurling medal. And it wasn't as if he won it on the bench. He started, scored those 2 points and came off to rapturous applause as well. So I think one of the most worthy winners of this month's weekly sports star is Niall Gilligan.
And Paddy Meehan earlier on saying they hope he stays on next year.
Yeah, he's in incredible shape, and he could keep going for as long as he wants, really. So we look forward to that.
It's a great interview. We'll throw it up online later on. We played a little bit of it earlier, but there's more in it that you should definitely check out. Owen and Derek, thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Clare FM Sports Star of the Month in association with Mannix Menswear, Market Street, Ennis, dressing Clare's sporting heroes for many years.
Do you want to win a hotel break in the heart of the kingdom? Of course you do. We will let you know how you can do that in 2.5 minutes time.
Clare FM's Morning Focus with Gavin Grace.